everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I'm joined with two co-hosts this time. I have Kyle and Brett here, and we are actually, because of this new season that we're in with Engage to Flourish, and we're trying to kind of track and be more in alignment with where our church is going, we're going to be starting a series in alignment with our sermon series. So the sermon series that we're going through right now is called True Disciple, and we are going to be doing the next few episodes kind of following along on that too. So we are really excited about this series and about starting off this New Testament reading plan that we just started this past Sunday. And hopefully you guys are caught up, as this is Wednesday. So hopefully we're on day three of the reading plan. If you're not, you have some time to catch up because we get 2 days a week off. So if you start today on day one, you can have Saturday and Sunday to get all the way caught up, and you can start next week fresh with everybody else. So we're excited to start this series, and to help us to kick it off, we brought in a very, very special guest. You've heard her before. Welcome to the show, Mimo. Welcome, Mimo.
Thanks.
So to start off, one of the things I thought would be a good way to get this whole series kicked off on the podcast is to just throw out a question. Okay, guys, here's our question. What does it mean for you to be a disciple of Jesus?
That's a pretty broad question. So maybe I'll start with the definition, so maybe that'll help give you guys time to think. So I'm like that, right, Brett? I like to look out for my co-host.
Yeah.
So disciple, there's a couple definitions that come up. It's one who embraces and assists in spreading the teachings of another. Another one is an active adherent as of a movement or philosophy. They have also one of the original followers of Jesus. But then I thought also there's the verb. So it's to convert into a disciple or to teach or train.
How did you know that's what my answers were going to be, Kyle?
I just knew, man.
I would just probably put it plain and short. It's just a, disciple of Jesus is to just follow Jesus. Simple enough. I guess I haven't thought too much about what the actual definition of it would be, but that would be it for me.
I agree. I think I was thinking of follower of Jesus because you said disciple to Jesus. We can be disciples to other things in the world, but we can talk about that later.
But that's still pretty broad, though. Like, what does it mean, like, to follow Jesus? Because that's still pretty open-ended.
So and maybe that's why you need to read the Bible. There's a plug for you, Damon.
Yeah, so hopefully, pretty soon, because we're starting in the book of Matthew, pretty soon we're going to get to the point where Jesus starts calling his disciples and the people that are actually following him. And one of the things that really stands out to me with him calling each of the disciples is where they came from. You know, a lot of the disciples that he's calling are not the trained, people that had been in school their whole time and trying to really be the next religious leaders. He's calling out these people that were fishermen, these people that were tax collectors, you know, and at the time, a tax collector is probably the most hated person because they're seen as traitors to their people because a lot of times they're Jewish, but now they're taxing their fellow man or their fellow Jews. And so they all are looked at as traitors, you know, and there's a zealot who's someone that is trying to, you know, kind of a lot of times violent way, push the Jewish faith. So there's all these different people that Jesus is calling that are not your typical traditional students that would be following a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really stands out to me is like Jesus wasn't just calling the best, the cream of the crop people. He was calling everybody to follow him. And so really, I feel like that's something that stands out to me as I've been a follower of Jesus. It's just, it doesn't matter, you know, for me to be the best person. He's just calling me for me.
Yeah, and we were talking about that earlier, too, about how they kind of had to leave their old identity behind and take on this new identity, right? And if we think about it, like I'm sure that didn't happen overnight. And, you know, I know we've all been watching The Chosen, but you see those characters developed in that series, you kind of take on some of that, like, oh, wow, they have to wrestle with it. It's not something that God called them. And let's say it's Matthew, I'm not sure what chapter it's in, Matthew 4 or something, but it's not like there and then Matthew 5 is like the next day and then they're all good and they know what they're doing. I mean, they had to wrestle with their, not, they weren't the educated experts, but they made mistakes. They had all these faults, yet they were still learning how to become disciples. So,
I think of Mary, because there were a lot of women that were following Jesus too. It wasn't just men. Mm-hmm. And I think of Mary Magdalene and how her life completely changed from where she was. And then, you know, when Jesus calls her by her name and she realizes who she is really as Mary and not the other, like, other name that people are calling her. And she even, like, at one point falls back and then Jesus still calls her back. And I think then she really knows what it means to follow Jesus. Even when you struggle, she knows what that's like.
Yeah, so what Mimo is referencing there is from The Chosen. So that's not actually something in the Bible.
No, sorry.
That's like story development, yeah. But it's kind of showing that, yeah, how people still were wrestling with that.
And I think it is biblical content, but mm-hmm. it's not actually from the Bible. Because, right, Jesus will say things like, we need to forgive our brother 77 times, right? So there's an, mm-hmm. and that's something that she's wrestling with in the show is, am I worthy to be a follower even though I messed up again, right? And Jesus later in the actual text, he does say, you know, I'll forgive you 77 times, which in Jewish terms, that means like as many times as infinite times, right? And I think one thing that as for our church, we have talked about identity a lot, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of times our identity, when we talk about it as in terms of we're saints, we're forgiven, you know, these aspects of our identity. But I think one thing that we haven't talked a lot about is what does it look like for us in our identity to be disciples mm-hmm. and to step into that identity of a disciple and not just allowing our culture to define what it looks like for us to follow Jesus. And so, Kyle, what do you think about that?
Oh, man, I was wondering who you're going to go to next. I was like waiting for Brett to be put on the spot. I just heard something recently where that kind of stood out to me, where like I've always heard about, or I've understood my identity as, yeah, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and that, but actually then God calls us to be disciples. I mean, he calls us to go out and disciple people, but to do that, we have to be disciples too. And to see myself as a disciple, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really think of my identity that way. Mm. But I think to add that on top of those, or as a mixture, but those other forgiven, loved, and all those things, it's like, oh yeah, because being a disciple, that takes action. It takes kind of commitment and determination to pursue. And I'm like, oh, if I see myself that way, that actually draws it out of me more than just knowing those other like feel good things.
I would agree. I think when we went through identity and as we continue to have things about identity, it's easy to focus on ways that God has created you in terms of like, I'm good at this, or he's given me the gift of this. And while all those things are true and good, sometimes it does have us kind of lose perspective on sight of the identity of who he's called us like as a people to be. Sometimes it gets focused so like individual that, yeah, you lose sight of like he's called us to be disciples. And I'm more focused on, am I good at like, God made me a listener, or God made me good at teaching, or God made me good. And those are all aspects of it. But as a disciple, I think it's how do we use those things that we've learned about in our identity under that to better follow Jesus, to better disciple others and things of that nature.
So I think for me, what I've come to realization in the last year or two is that first I started with knowledge in my head that I am saved, that I'm loved. I'm a beloved daughter of God. And then went into my heart when I started understanding more about identity. And, you know, I feel it. I know it in my head. And then I think where I am now is that I am living it. So I am embodying my faith. So that could be using my body as worship, as in like fasting, as in prayer, as in caring for others. It's not just in my head or in my heart, but I am actually living it. So I think that's like the next step that I didn't realize until just recently. I think I had it all in my head and my heart, but not living it out in such a way.
Yeah, Mimo, last time we had you on, it was in our spiritual discipline series, and we were talking about spiritual disciplines and kind of the actions and the practices that we do as to, you know, enhance our faith or to grow in our faith. And I think looking at it from this perspective of our identity as disciples, I think that that's a little bit different perspective too. You know, one of the things that we talked about during that series was, how do we make it so that our practices don't just become a checklist of things to do, right? And I think that when we reshape it and we look at it from the perspective of, I'm a disciple, what would a disciple do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm doing these things because I'm a disciple, I think that that shifts it. And I think one of the things that is really highlighted in being a disciple is, right, you're following someone else. So you're actually raising someone else to the level of saying, I honor you, I want to follow you, or you're humbling yourself to say, I'm in a place where I need someone to show me how to live or what it looks like. And so, meanwhile, I think that's one of the things that's been really cool in as we've grown closer in our relationship, is just seeing your posture to want to know and follow Jesus more in a deeper sense, and not just, I'm going to check off more things to do.
And then exactly what you say, the word posture is like with our body, and how do we put ourselves in relationship to Jesus. So so I know I mentioned this book the last time I was on the podcast, The Liturgy of the Ordinary, and she talks about, the author talks about even like brushing our teeth, like things that we do in every day, like that we don't think about. That's, we just do it because of who we are as a human. Like you just brush your teeth, you do this, you do that. So as a disciple, you do certain things, and it's not because we're checking off our list of things we have to do, but they're just things we do. So as followers of Jesus, they're natural things that I would be doing, not just to as a duty or obligation, but because of who I am.
I really appreciate what you're saying, and as you're talking, kind of reflecting even on my own life and thinking about it in that nature. And I really appreciate it, because I always, and I probably have said this on the podcast before, but you're being about it. And I admire that. And yeah, really take
and
that
you always
part.
Call other people out for that, right? It's like, yeah, don't just like, talk about it,
yeah,
be about
let's
it.
Let's be about it. Like you could say whatever you want, but unless you're doing it and being about it, then it kind of doesn't mean anything. And so I think, yeah, especially as a disciple, there's so many things that we do that it's not about getting it done, like you guys said, you know, a checklist, but it's, this is what a follower of Jesus does. And so I'm going to do it because I want to follow Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to learn and grow. And so, yeah, I don't need to say anything. I could just be here and listening to what Mimo has to say. So,
okay. So yeah, we don't have this scripted out or completely. We have some ideas, but this just popped in my head. It's from James 2. It's talking about, excuse me, faith and works, right? So in James 2:17, it says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Because I was thinking of that whole embodying being a disciple. I think I was thinking to myself, well, like, what's the disconnect there? Mm. And I'm wondering, like, oh, sometimes we have that idea that we can't earn our salvation. All it's all true, but then sometimes does that say, like, So you don't need to do anything. Mm. So don't do anything. Mm-hmm. In a sense, I think it gives us an excuse to say, oh, we're not going to embody. We still believe it and we know it, and we're still saved. There's a salvation thing there, but then we don't take it to the next step where we actually enact it, and then we really are discipled, and then we can actually disciple others. So I just wanted to throw that out and see what you guys thought about that.
I think it's just the way we live now in the society that we do, everything comes really easy to us. You know, like we can just look up things on our phone, just like what you just did, Kyle, right now. You can pull up a Bible
Ooh,
verse.
Getting
on
called
it.
Out.
You know, or just like things like that. We can have everything at our fingertips. So it's I guess what I'm trying to say is it takes more work on our part to be a disciple, because it's not part of our regular lives anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I think we've become so lazy Like, I don't remember anybody's phone numbers because I'll just click on a name and the phone number's right there. Just things like that, everyday things. Like, things that I used to, I think, when I was growing up, when I was younger, I think I would have known more phone numbers because before smartphones, just things like that. It's like, it, looking at it from everyday perspective, we, our lives have become so much easier in many ways that we don't even put thoughts and time into the things that we can intentionally or unintentionally do. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. I would agree that, like, this idea almost of like delayed gratification mm-hmm. is kind of lost. And so being a disciple, I think the ultimate reward you get, right, isn't until the end of your life. We talk about salvation and things of, well, God, you know, died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life. It's like, I don't get to experience that quote unquote eternal life until the end. And so I think sometimes as believers, we can kind of get complacent mm-hmm. because it's like, well, the thing that I'm shooting for, I don't get to experience or receive that reward, instead of having the mind frame more of like from the day to day, from the moment to moment, there's things that God is working in and focusing on more about the journey than it is mm-hmm. necessarily just that end goal.
And I think in some ways that's a lie, right? Because in the discipleship process, you do see the reward after you get into it, but you don't get it right away.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you see it then, you know, I see it in Mimo, the way you're like taking this stuff in and it's transforming you. It doesn't happen instantly, but then you start seeing it. And then actually I see that it creates even more hunger and more, like, I would say desire for it, but almost a need for it. Like you feel like you just need that to like be fulfilled instead of being fulfilled in different ways. But I think that is a lie that we can believe in. Like, oh yeah, like I'll get that later. And it's just, I'm not going to get the rewards now, or I'm not going to see the benefit of it now. But I think it's that study that, as staff, we're going through a book called Empower, and they highlight this one study about getting in the Word and being in the Bible. And you don't really get benefit unless you're in it 4 days a week. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, really, even 3 days? And then 3 days is like very minimal, but there's something significant about four. If you think of four, that's a majority of your week then. Mm-hmm. It's four versus three at least, right? So I think there's something there that just God designs it that way, where when we put in like enough on the scale, it tips, and that's where we get it. But if we don't put enough in, the scale doesn't tip and we don't see any reward. So it feels like defeating, like, oh, I'm putting all this effort, or I'm putting some effort and I'm just not seeing anything. But he wants us to put the majority, right? Once you go to more than 50%, the scale tips, and that's when you actually see, like, oh, this does something.
Yeah, I think our society is trying to fragment us so much by giving us so many different directions to go, so many different people were supposed to be, right? Like, this is my school self, this is my work self, this is my church self, this is my, I go to this expert to learn this skill, I go to this expert to learn that, I go to the, and so we're so comfortable being in so many different people in so many different places that I think that actually hinders us in our discipleship, because we're trying to stay fragmented, and really God wants us to be integrated people where we're just coming to him with our whole self. And not just, I'm coming to him with my mind, or I'm coming to him with my thoughts, but I'm coming to him with my whole self. And I think that's one of the things that's been really cool, Mimo, that you're talking about, is when we're able to worship the Lord or follow the Lord with our mind, our heart, and our body, there's something special about that, and we can really receive the blessings because of that.
And I think it's interesting too, the way you were just describing that, like seeing ourselves as work and this and that, and those are all different identities, right? So if we have our kind of multiple identity disorder or whatever, we have all these different identities, and that's distracting. But if we are able to elevate the disciple to the main identity and live from that, then we're a disciple at our work and a disciple. So it kind of goes back to that, where I totally agree that society, the way it's going, it wants us to be fragmented. It wants us to have all these different things, because really then, I mean, we're not going to be effective followers and disciples.
To add to that, I something that just came to mind that I think I don't consciously think about too is, like, how much of a reward being able to follow Jesus is, just in general. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a savior that we get to to get to know and be like, and you know, he's forgiven our sins. Like, just the fact that we get to worship and follow a God is like, that's a reward in itself. Like, if you were told you get to follow around your favorite celebrity for a day, you get to, you know, you get to see what this person does, you get to have this conversation with this, like, you would be like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Or how much money would you pay to do that? Right?
Yeah, right. And it's like, but you have the God of the universe that you get to follow. Like, I know for myself, I often look at my walk or just being a disciple as like, it's hard, mm-hmm. right? Or it's like, it's a lot of work. I have to die to myself in this way. I have to do this. But also, like, I've hit times in my life where I think I've come to realize, like, wow, I don't know what I would do if I didn't mm-hmm. have this, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I could see why people turn to those other things, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but how much of a gift and reward it is to have something to lean on and to follow. And so, yeah, as you guys were sharing, I'm thinking about my perspective more in my journey of following Jesus and being a disciple and looking at it, I guess, even more in just a positive light than, like, the difficulties of it.
I was thinking, like in Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, that's exactly what the enemy wants, is for us to be distracted and not to focus on God, right? So enemy, the society, I mean, it's really the enemy, the supernatural powers of that's distracting us from focusing on God. We have so much distractions in our lives, and it's just really hard to, like you said, Brett, focus on God, because it takes work to mm-hmm. when we're so easily distracted, it takes work to focus back on God. So
I don't have any distractions. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, as you're talking and kind of talking about what the enemy is trying to do, I think one of the things that the enemy tries to do with us as disciples too is to point out the cost of following Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, oh, if you're going to follow Jesus, then that means you have to do this and this and this and this, and it's going to cost you a lot, mm-hmm. right? But Brett, as you were sharing, one of the things that kind of was highlighted as you were sharing is there's actually a cost of not following Jesus as well.
A big cost.
Mm-hmm. Right? And some of those costs we just don't know about because, you know, Jesus might be whispering that in our ear and the enemy is just screaming, you're going to have to give up this and this and this and this. And Jesus might be saying, well, but you're gaining this and this and this, right? And there is a cost to not following me at the same time, right? And I think that's something that we also as disciples need to keep our eyes on, is like, what is the cost of me not following Jesus? Is it less joy, less peace, mm-hmm. less patience? Is it less feeling blessed, right? And I think that those are some of the things that God really wants for us. He wants us to feel blessed. He wants us to experience joy. He wants us to experience love. And those are some costs that we don't get to experience because if we're not following him.
Yeah, I mean, just coming from the business world too, that's the main drive of corporate America, is make you feel discontent, because then you'll spend money to make yourself feel better. Mm. So it comes across on all different levels. It's beauty, it's entertainment, it's whatever. But that they're not feeling sorry for us that we're discontented. They're actually, okay, good. Now that we got better customers, we got more loyal customers, we got desperate customers. And I mean, I think it helps to see that, because really that's one of the tugs on our minds and our hearts, is that discontentment. And if we recognize it, then we know, okay, there is that there, but they're trying to feed it. Mm-hmm. And then it helps us to like be able to resist it a little bit too.
Remember that YouTube, or it was a BBC, I think, or it was a documentary about the century of self, and how that made me think of that, like how the corporate, like after World War II, how they really changed the perspective of the Americans in this situation to be more consumer minded, how to feed our desires and wants instead of need. We're a want and want culture instead of a need culture. Like, anyway, yeah, it made me think of that.
Yeah. So as we're talking, one of the things that really comes to mind is as we're stepping into our identity as disciples, I think it's important to recognize what was the goal of a disciple, you know, in Jesus's time. And the goal of the disciple in Jesus' time was to be more like the rabbi, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not just to, you know, do the things that the rabbi is doing, but it's to think, to act, to do, to walk as the rabbi. And I think that for us, it's cool because our rabbi is Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And so we get to be in this position where he is transforming us into his likeness. And I think I shared this a few episodes ago, but one of the really exciting things for me in that is Jesus was the most joyful person in the world to have ever lived, right? And if he wants to transform me into a person like that, like that's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. And so we get a chance to be transformed into his likeness, and that's super cool. Mm-hmm. Watch, I'm going to start getting a super cool counter. I feel like I've been saying that a lot in the last few episodes too.
Brandon's going to tell you.
Brandon's going to get on my case about the super cool. I got to come up with more new.
I actually thought of that the other day when I was listening to you interview Dale, but I didn't want to give you a complex about it, so I didn't want to bring it up. But since you said it, no, I don't know. I mean, this thought popped in my head too. Like we're all being discipled, right? But it's what or who is discipling us, and I think sometimes we don't realize it, right? We don't realize how much influence we're allowing to come really upon us. And I kind of think of that with our kids, right, Mimo? Like we're trying to get them to recognize when they're taking like worldly things too far. And you know, not worldly things aren't all bad, but when there's an imbalance and when they kind of get consumed, it's tough to see as a parent. But part of our job is just to point it out to them. And I think that's what we need from our relationships as adults too. We need people to be able to point out when there's an imbalance and we're being discipled by things that really are leading us down a difficult path.
Yeah. I think I talked to Brett about this, like, I don't know, a few months ago. I probably texted you or something, but that's like worshiping something. Like, what do we worship in our lives? And we think of worship like as we worship Jesus, but then do we worship money? Do we worship a Netflix TV series that we want to binge watch? Like, do we worship time? Do we worship youth? Do we worship our outer appearances? Do we worship status? So yeah, I think it's being a disciple is who do we follow? So like Damon, what you were talking about. So kind of going back to what you were talking about. So I started just in the last week, I think, John Ortberg's been doing the new series on habit formation for his podcast. And
another podcast.
But those ones are only like 10 minutes. I don't mind when she sends me those. So.
But he was talking about starting our day with like a mantra. So it's, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I've actually been saying that when my alarm goes off and when I'm actually ready to get out the bed.
You mean after you hit snooze three times?
Hey, sometimes three times.
A little insider baseball.
Usually only once.
That's true. Usually once.
Yeah.
That's why we wanted to make sure Kyle was on this episode too.
Right. So I will say that and it actually helps me just to set my, like that's the first thing I'll say to myself instead of saying, oh my gosh, I have to get ready for work or, you know, it's whatever day I have this coming up today. I will say this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that just changes my morning so much. And going into work, knowing I have some hard things coming up, it's just a good way to start my day.
I think with that episode, one of the things that stood out was not just that he said that, but it's the how he said it too. He kept saying, I will rejoice and be glad in it, because he, even whatever circumstance comes along, he says, I'm going to be rejoicing and be glad for the day that the Lord gave me today. And sometimes we have to do that, right? It's like, it's not, every day is not going to be easy. Every day is not going to be the best day ever, but we can change our circumstances by how we're going to respond to it and choosing to respond in different ways. And I think that's something that he was really pointing out in that episode was, doesn't matter what the day is going to happen, he's going to rejoice in that. And he's kind of more adamant. It's not just, I will, it's like, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's an act of the will, right? And sometimes that sounds choice. Yeah, it sounds kind of cold and heartless and like, eh, it's not touchy-feely, but sometimes that's the part that keeps us motivated and keeps us going. But yeah, it's just a matter of the will.
Yeah, I'm just taking it all in because as much as I joke around and stuff, I could be someone that looks at a lot of things with the glass half empty. And so that attitude is not something I think I naturally have. And I definitely don't wake up in the morning like that. And so I'm just taking it all in and kind of reflecting on my own life and in these things that we're discussing, like, what does that look like? And I think a lot of it, I am challenged already or don't have an answer. And it's something that I'm going to need to process and work through. So I'm thankful to be included on this episode and take some of this stuff in for my own life.
Yeah. So as we start to wrap up this episode, one of the things that's kind of being highlighted to me, especially as we're starting the series and starting the Bible reading plan, is really we want to start to encourage people as disciples to step into their identity as disciples. And that's one reason that as a church, we're going to be going through this Bible reading plan for the New Testament for this year. You know, one of the things that the disciples did back in Jesus' time is they actually memorized mm-hmm. all the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just that they would read the scripture every day, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible, right? So it's one chapter a day for the rest of the year. Some days it'll be two. I don't want to, you know, lie. There's some days it's going to be two chapters. But anyway, this is our opportunity for us to step into our identity as disciples and getting more into the word. And really what we want to do is we want to allow the word to transform us, right? And it's not just I'm doing it to check off the boxes, or I'm doing it because Pastor Barry said to do it, or I'm doing it for my own status, but I'm doing it because I'm coming from a posture of Jesus, I need to be transformed into your likeness. And I want to allow you some time to do that.
So, yeah, as we wrap up, Mima, I thought you could maybe leave our listeners with something that maybe would be a challenge to them. Maybe it's the one that you said, but just waking up that way. But mm-hmm. is there something that you want to leave or kind of put in the listener's mind to kind of process with this being a true disciple?
Well, so I was thinking when Damon was talking about that, like sometimes it'll be two chapters. Seriously, reading or listening to a chapter a day is going to take you maybe 3 minutes. It's really not that much time. Okay, so think about how much time you spend watching one episode of a TV show. It's at least 30 minutes. Maybe it's a Netflix or like, I don't know, whatever other. It could be like 2 hours, right? Like, or easily. Okay, so I'm off Instagram right now, but I had nights where I'm like, crap. I'm sorry. So, I've been on this thing for like whatever length of time, which is ridiculous. I don't want to even say it because it's embarrassing. So
say it.
No shame.
By like 2 hours, I'm like, and then things that I'm looking at usually are not bad things at all. Like they're looking into like, you know, Bible teachers or whatever, like, and I'll just get in the rabbit hole of like, oh, whatever. But like really looking at reading the Bible, it will not take that long out of your day. It's the thing. What do we prioritize? What's important in our lives? Mm-hmm. Looking at my Instagram feed is more important than reading the Bible. I hope not. I hope that's not my focus in my life. Looking at a silly TV show for 30 minutes or watching it for 30 minutes, is that more important than reading the Bible for 3 minutes? No, it's not. So that's my challenge, is to like focus on what's important in your life and just really reevaluate where you prioritize your time. I would challenge you actually, when you read the Bible, read it slowly. It's so easy to just read it and to just checkmark it. But just read it slower sometimes, and I haven't done this as much as I used to, but there's a way you would read the whole chapter and you go verse by verse. You would stop at one verse, you would meditate on it, you read the next verse and you'd meditate on it. It will take more time, but I promise you it is not as long as you think it's going to take.
So that challenge has been issued. And one thing to that I would like to add to that, Mimo. I think for a lot of people, and myself included, there's times where it's like, oh, I have to read the Bible again, or I have to. But I think what you talked about earlier is, you know, we can make our own mantra. It's like, this is my Bible reading for the today. I will rejoice and be glad in it, whether I like it, whether I want to or not. I'm going to rejoice and be glad that I get to follow Jesus. And I think that is a great place for us to leave this episode. But Mimo, I really appreciated having you on. So I want to invite you to come back on before we end the series. So I think there's going to be 4 episodes in the series of True Disciples. So hopefully you'll be open to coming back on before we end the series.
Thumbs up.
Oh, I thought she was giving me the thumbs up. I didn't think she was going to say anything. So I was going to have to say, oh, she's giving us the thumbs up.
Yeah, remember, this is audio only, not video. Yeah.
So thanks for listening to Engage to Flourish. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify so that you don't miss any new content. You can also check out our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories, available on multiple platforms as well. We would also love for you to check out our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach.